Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into our show, Third Culture Kids.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be talking about two very serious topics. I know we have all been affected by or know someone that has substance abuse issues or has been in rehab. Before getting started, to anyone that is struggling with addiction or knows someone who is, please know that you are not alone. No matter where you are, who you are, where you're from, there are many resources and people that you can reach out to on behalf of yourself, or if you don't feel comfortable, a loved one can do that for you. If you aren't ready to speak to a professional, find a trusted friend, family member, or school counselor who will. We understand that this is an extremely sensitive topic, and although at times our show may tend to lean towards a more comical tone because we do like to laugh about things, we by no means aim to undermine or make light of this heavy subject.
Yeah, so we want to talk about these difficult subjects precisely because they're so important and prevalent in university students.
Addiction doesn't discriminate no one regardless of where they come from. A good family, rich, poor, high GPA is immune to substance abuse. We also recognize that this affects not only the user, but anyone that cares about that person. Leah and I aren't mental health experts, and we aren't trying to be. We're just college students interviewing a friend who had an experience that we hope can help someone struggling and enlighten our audience on the sensitive topic.
Definitely. We're just going to talk about like our experiences and just keep it at that. And so starting out in college or even in the later years of high school produces some natural social anxiety and depressive tendencies for many students. So the stress of change, the fear of being alone, the future, classes, workload, et cetera, and all of this leads to students being more likely to engage in substance abuse. So as college students, we are one of the largest groups of drug abusers internationally. So those who are enrolled in a full-time college are twice as likely to abuse drugs and alcohol than those who don't attend college at all. So we hope you understand why we felt like this was an important topic to discuss on our show. So without further ado, I would like to present our guests. So keeping the theme of our last episode, this is a very personal topic to our friend, and so Jane Doe has opted to remain anonymous. Jane was forced by her parents after high school into entering rehab, and this was about 2 years ago, and the experience has definitely changed her for the better. So we think that it's so brave of her to have agreed to come on our show and share any lessons she's learned from this experience, and so Sarah and I have been really looking forward to this.
So before we get into the interview, I kind of want to lighten things up a little bit, and we're going to go around and talk about kind of our highs and lows of the week so far. So yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Just so first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. Hi. I turned in my philosophy essay.
Woo! Heck yeah.
Finally.
Uh-huh.
And the low point was...
That was the one on Descartes?
Yeah.
It was great.
Low point was definitely having the flu
a
high fever for like all of Saturday and Sunday.
Dude, that's not cute.
Yeah, no. Terrible. Terrible time.
At least you're better now. So.
Yeah. You sound like a little bit, but it's like... It's
wearing off. I feel good.
I guess like a low for me is just that I have a bunch of essays and work due right now. I think it's just because the holidays are coming, which is
point
my high
semester.
Too.
Yeah.
It's the holidays soon, which is so exciting. Mm-hmm. But
yes. Yeah, kind of same thing. I'm kind of just like in a weird rut because I'm just really confused. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, but
nobody really does though.
Nobody does.
So my high is like I feel like I'm starting to like feel like this is home and like just getting in the groove of things and yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, and all the stressful things that happened when you first got here,
yeah.
when we all first got
Banking,
here,
finally
housing,
getting everything.
Yeah, things are getting resolved now.
Yeah.
We're settling in, just pretty nice. Okay, and so we can jump straight into the interview. So I know from our previous conversation that we talked about how your parents were the main reason for why you went to rehab, but could you tell us a little bit more about the circumstances, like how it happened and how you felt in the moment?
Yeah, so I actually want to correct you because you used the word force.
Oh, okay.
And
no,
they
sorry.
Didn't. It was no, it's fine. It was just like, you know, it was we came to an agreement because it was, I don't know, it reached a point where I was in denial and they started to notice that it was a problem.
Right.
So
that's actually really nice. You could like talk about it really openly with them.
Yeah. I think. That like one of the funny things that happened was we're really big Game of Thrones
fans. You told me this.
Yeah, so they waited after the episode to tell me that I was gonna go to rehab, and I just think that shows like, you know, like through it all, like they're still
you
gonna be my parents,
yeah.
and they're still gonna put me first,
and they still want you to watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
And so, like, what's your story? What happened?
So I went to rehab for weed and wax.
What's wax?
It's just like another form of marijuana.
Okay.
So it's just the concentrate, but it's highly addictive, and people don't know that it's addictive. And so yeah, but so I went to rehab for like 3 months, and yeah, now I'm 9 months and like 15 days sober, I think. Yeah,
that's awesome. So exciting. So what was it like to be honest with your friends and family about what was going on? And if you could go back and maybe do it differently, was there, I think you were saying how you waited to tell your friends, we've talked about this, or?
Yeah, so it was hard for me to be open about that, just because there's like such a huge like
stigma
around rehab, and like I didn't want my friends to be like, oh, she was going to rehab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But after, you know, going to rehab, like, I started realizing that I did want people to know, and like, I wanted people to realize that I was changing, like, for
That's
the better.
Awesome.
And you know, like, now I'm super open about it. Like,
I had just met you guys and I was like,
to rehab.
Yeah. Which I think is so awesome. It's just accepting your journey and accepting what you
like
had.
I'm so proud of it.
If you could do that differently, like telling them, would you have? Or are you glad that you waited until after?
I'm glad I waited, because it was also part of like, you know, I realized that most of my friends at the time weren't the friends that I wanted to have. So it was just
interesting.
I stopped talking to them.
Because it was right after high school, right?
It was during the last 3 months of high school.
Okay.
So it was hard, because it was
it's a big turning point. Like,
like, I wanted to say goodbye to them properly, but also it was like the perfect time, because I just didn't have to see them again after high school. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And just going back a little bit, how did you know that you needed help?
Because
you were talking about how you were in denial as well. So like, how did your parents realize this, and how did
you?
Yeah. So it was a problem for like 4 years. So I started using in like freshman year, and it started, you know, like fun, you know, like typical, let's smoke some weed. And then I think like through the years it like started getting out of hand, and I wasn't using it, you know, just for fun anymore. And I just think like at the end of it, I was just really starting to realize for myself, like, maybe I should not smoke. Like, I'll try to not smoke like this month, and then obviously I couldn't. So
I've heard so many people say that weed isn't addicting, though. I hear that all the time.
Yeah. It depends on like, I
or
guess
I hear
like
a lot
how
of people
you use
saying
it,
that like, oh, weed itself isn't addicting, but the feeling is, and I'm just like, isn't that the same thing? So how was like rehab? What was your, like, how long were you there for, and how was your, like, how was the day? What would you do?
So I was actually in intense outpatient. So I would go for like 3 hours to 4 hours a day for 3 days a week.
Okay.
And then I would also go to AA meetings and CAA meetings, which is Cocaine Anonymous. Just like, you don't have to be a cocaine addict to go to Cocaine Anonymous meeting, or you don't have to be an alcoholic to go to
meeting.
Like an open space to share.
Exactly.
Like,
so at my rehab facility, we would just, it was a small IOP group.
How many people were you?
We were like around 8, and I was the youngest one, and then there was like a 40-year-old alcoholic.
Oh, so it's like huge age range.
So
did you have like any preconceptions about like rehab and stuff, and like going off of that, was any of those challenged? Did you feel like your opinion of it changed after you were there?
I remember sitting in the lobby the first day, and I was
because I know my opinion is just like based off what I see on television.
I was sitting in the lobby, and I was like, am I going to have to stand up and say, hi, I'm Andre, and I'm an addict?
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Oh, at the meeting, though.
Really?
But, like, during IOP,
so
you
brave.
Literally
like,
just, like,
yeah,
go in, and it's a small group, so we're 8, and you just get, like, really comfortable really fast because you're just sharing, like, all of this intimacy and, like, you know,
you have
like
a therapist
it's so personal.
That's
it's a therapist-guided session and, like, group session, and then I would go on one-on-one sessions once a week.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you just get, like, into these really, really deep conversations and just, like, no barriers. So,
yeah. And I'm assuming you're tackling all the issues that lead up to the addiction. Cause
yeah,
the addiction,
no, it's just all about, like,
of other stuff.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So you really, you know, there's people, like, not knowing if they're going to reach the next day. Like, it's it gets really rough.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I don't know, it was a really interesting thing to experience.
Did it ever, like, get, like, was it ever too much at one point and you're like, I don't know if I can keep doing this? Or did you feel like every day was getting better?
I always felt like every day was getting better, and I kind of loved, like, being the youngest one, because I went in thinking, like, besides, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to stand up and say I'm an addict. Like, yeah. And that was still, like, part of me being in denial, because I was like, I don't see myself as an addict.
Yeah.
And then I went in and all these, like, older people were like, I'm so glad you're in. For just weed, like, technically just weed, but no, it's not just weed. Like, it's weed,
you're
and you're here.
Saving yourself,
and
like, a lifetime.
Yeah,
of, like,
before it gets worse.
Like,
that's so, like, they would always tell me, like, I wish I would have come in when I was 18. Like,
and going
you.
Through such an experience so young, it's bound to help you in your life in the future. Like, I think everyone should go to therapy.
Our age.
Yeah.
We're very,
totally.
We talk about this all the time.
Yeah,
like,
it's just life changing. And we have so much to figure out at this age.
Yeah,
I
hate that it's so, like, people are embarrassed. I'm like,
no, but
what are you embarrassed
there's
about?
There's so much
that
to learn about yourself. Like, it's not even
that person went to school for like 4, 6, 8 years to make you feel your best that you can
exactly.
be. Like, why wouldn't you want to, especially if you have the means to go? Like, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Totally.
Like, that's like one of the first things I think that bonded us three.
Yeah.
We're big on psychology.
Yeah. Anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, did you go through different stages when you were in rehab? Like, so denial, anger, guilt, acceptance, growth. Like, what was your phase? What phases did you go through?
So I think I reached acceptance. Like, I jumped kind of from denial to acceptance really quick. But I did face...
So it was like a change in mindset? Like,
you
just accepted it and
went, I was just
it?
Like...
That's good.
I just imagined, like, my family, my parents, my siblings, most of all. Like, I just wanted to be better for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the first weekend of like my sobriety was prom night, and that was really hard.
And
I just remember
like,
and like nobody knew. I just had to
FOMO
keep it to myself.
Like,
but I went, you know, I had the dress, I had everything. I went and I left at 12 because I started having like a panic attack, and I was like, I don't need this. Like, I showed up, I took the picture, I danced.
Did you
and I'm
feel
gonna go
like
home.
When you were back in that space where like you used to like party and stuff, or like the mindset, did you feel like an outsider, like coming back to it?
Totally.
Or did you like feel like you were back in it?
Totally. And it was just my first week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was crazy how much I
what's kind
changed.
Of interesting though is that you got to do outpatient, which means you get to live your life and still go to all of these events at the same time as being in recovery. And so if anything, it makes it more integrated and holistic.
Yeah.
As opposed to if you're in a center, you know, for like a few
so
months
your
and then
family.
You have to
so.
Yeah, no, because I still had to go to school, and I was so close to graduating, so like being full-time wasn't like part of the plan.
Right.
But I did meet a lot of people that would start full-time or would start outpatient therapy and then like afterwards move into like a sobriety living home. So or like apartment sober living, that was also a thing that was really cool that I saw a lot of people do.
Did you know like, or like how does it work if knowing how long you're going to be there or if you're going to move somewhere else after the 3 months kind
so you usually sign up for like either 60 days or 90 days.
Okay.
But one of the girls that was there is an alcoholic, and she signed up for 90 days, and then afterwards she just like loved it so much and wanted to keep going. And so she signed up for 90 more. Like, just, you know, like if you can do it.
But like going into it, did you know you're going to be there for 3 months, or were you like,
yeah,
oh, I'm just
I signed up. Yeah.
Okay. So kind of right off the bat, you were like, I'm doing this.
Committed.
I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But as I said, like the first week kind of, I was always like, I don't know if I'm an addict though. Like, I was just smoking weed.
Denial is so strong.
Yeah.
So strong.
But after like going to a couple of AA meetings and like CA meetings and just keep being like keeping up the IOP, like I just started realizing, like, yeah, I'm an addict.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And since, like, so many social situations rotate around drinking and taking drugs, exactly. right?
Especially in high school.
In high school and in university.
Yeah.
I mean, just a lot as well.
Yeah.
Did you meet new people at rehab that became, like, your new friends who
yeah.
went through a similar journey?
Yeah. As I said, like, the age gap was really big, mm-hmm. but they were, like, my friends, and uh-huh. we would, like, go to the meetings together,
I
and we would
that.
All sit together and, like, collect our chips and stuff. And
are you still in contact with some of them now?
Or? Yeah, yeah. The youngest one there was 23, so we just keep up mm-hmm. with each other, and, like, it's, I don't know, it's part of recovery now to ask, like, are you still sober? But, you know, like, mm-hmm. just keeping up and
oh
making
wow,
sure everything's okay.
Why aren't you supposed yeah. to ask that?
It's just, like, if they want to tell me, they can tell me, but you're not supposed to, like, mm-hmm. interrupt their process, you
yeah.
know?
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned in previous conversation we had that some of the stories you heard from other people in your rehab group shared, like, when you're doing group therapy really stuck with you. Is there maybe one that you already shared with us that you want to share, or what kind of who you talked to stuck out the most?
Yeah, a lot of people that would come up and speak at the meetings mm-hmm. were really impactful. Like, I just sometimes, like, I'm walking down the street and I remember this guy, like, sharing a story, and mm-hmm. it just, I don't know, it, like, resonates with me. But, like, one of
yeah.
the most, I don't, like,
touching
stories
yeah.
that stuck with me was one of the guys in my IOP group was addicted to painkillers, mm-hmm. and, you know, he had a family, and he tried so hard to get sober, but every few weeks, like, he would come back and be like, yeah, I got my 0-day chip. Like, mm. I started over again. And it was
yeah.
just so hard to, like, see him,
that's
you know,
really
struggle
like regress
week after
kind
week.
Of, yeah.
yeah. And another one's, like, my, yeah, just, you know, like, there's so many stories that.
Yeah. yeah how? Yeah, I don't know. I can't even, like, wrap my brain around that. Like, how can you not hear that and not be affected? Or hear that and not be affected?
Yeah,
like,
and
it's so
I think
personal.
Also, just seeing those people show up day after day to the meetings. And
yeah,
like,
even mm-hmm. when they were starting over.
Yeah, after hearing them share their stories of their lowest points, and, you know, they try day after day, even though it sucks, and they don't think they're going to make it to the next day,
yeah.
but they, you know, they push and they push
yeah.
and it's
yeah,
just
they have
one day
courage yeah mm-hmm.
one day at a time.
I mm-hmm. wonder if they, I don't know how they did it in your rehab, but a support group I went to, we were taught to listen to other people's stories but
mm-hmm.
not try and take them on, because otherwise it's emotionally draining
yeah.
and I mean exhausting and devastating. You hear people with terrible
yeah.
stories, and so what you're supposed to do instead is just be with yourself and see if anything other people say will resonate with you or bring up any emotions.
Totally.
That's hard.
But you're more focused then on yourself than on the other people, that way you're not
yeah.
taking on their burden.
I
right.
feel
yeah.
like, isn't that what therapists do, kind of?
That is,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
It's like active listening,
yeah,
but you're
like
still putting a boundary,
that.
Right?
Exactly.
It's so
exactly.
hard. Like, I don't know.
I guess it's probably your practice, right?
Yeah. yeah.
So what was the most valuable lesson or takeaway from this experience?
Feel like you have to sum it up into one. If there's, like,
yeah.
a couple, like, you have time to say, like, whatever you want.
I don't know. I think, like, my relationship with my family definitely, you know, got way better,
mm-hmm.
and right now, like, my family is, like, my best, like, my parents
mm-hmm.
are my best friends, and,
yeah.
you know, I'm just so happy that, like,
a wall came
it
down,
worked out,
of,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah, and a wall totally came down, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel so much stronger now, and it's part of me, and I'm just happy that I can, you know, make it a part of me, and, like, be proud of it, and,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
yeah. How do you think it's gonna impact you for the rest of your life? Because this is a pretty life-changing experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not every day that a 17-year or 18-year-old experiences that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think, like, it made me grow up a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And
you probably learn a lot about yourself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really, like, tight community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, anywhere I go and anywhere I travel to, like, I can always look up a meeting. Like, if I'm feeling down, I can always go to an AA meeting and
that's
talk
so cool.
about stuff.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
whatever.
It's all over the world,
yeah.
right? So, like,
yeah.
every city is gonna have a few.
Yeah, and
yeah.
it's free. Like,
uh-huh.
people don't know
yeah.
it's free. Like, it's totally free, and you could just literally show up and decide to get sober and get a sponsor. Like, it's super easy.
Yeah, so anyone listening, if, you know, you
yeah.
would like to go to a meeting, it's free. Do you have to talk, or can you just
no,
listen?
No, you just
yeah.
listen.
Yeah.
The sponsor thing, can you kind of explain how that works?
Yeah, so I that was sort of, like, what I didn't understand at first. Yeah. But you start going to these meetings and you pick one you really like, and mm-hmm. then you just start.
So you can try it out, kind of like
yeah,
a therapist.
Yeah, you start going to different meetings, and mm-hmm. then during the meeting, they usually ask the people that want to sponsor. You have to be like 1 year sober at least, mm-hmm. and go past the 12 steps of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the meeting, they usually ask you to raise your hand if you're willing to be a sponsor. So if you're looking for a sponsor, you go up to those people and meet over a coffee. And then
what do you do with a sponsor? Like, what's their role?
You go through the 12 steps of recovery. So it's like first acceptance,
they guide you,
second, yeah, because uh-huh. they all went through.
So
it,
like a mentor that's already done it.
Yeah. So wow. you go through the big book, which is like the Bible for
that's
alcoholics.
Really inspiring. Do you think you would be a sponsor, like in your future?
Yeah.
Maybe not now.
Yeah.
But
I'd like
yeah,
to.
I think you would be really good.
I'd love to
you
be
have
a sponsor.
So nice. Great personality.
Yeah.
And like. Yeah, you're not.
I'd totally love to be a sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and giving back to a community that's given so much to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
That seems so meaningful.
So what advice do you have for anyone who is thinking about going to rehab or has a substance problem they feel like they can't control, or maybe they're choosing not to see, or if they're unsure or embarrassed about how to handle it?
I'd just say, you know, talk to anyone
yeah.
you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, that's
like
what we said at the
reach
beginning.
Out.
Yeah, just
yeah.
whatever, like, everything you said at the beginning was so true. Just,
yeah.
you know, reach out to a
it's
teacher,
so
to a counselor, to a friend, to a stranger, like whoever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And don't hesitate to look up online, like mm-hmm. AA meetings, and just go into one. Like, no one's going to know you. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to speak. You
literally
can leave
go.
If you don't like it.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. There's like no pressure.
Yeah.
No, there's no pressure. Yeah. And
I feel like the act of like reaching out or like admitting that you need help with something is like the biggest step of courage.
Right, it's
and
standing up for yourself.
Yeah,
showing yourself that you're important and that
yes.
you deserve to be better.
Yeah,
to do better.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And that's like, I don't know. I just think it's so amazing you did that as a high schooler, because
mm-hmm.
like, it's so hard.
Thank
everyone's
you.
So insecure at that age. Like,
oh yeah, and everybody's
yeah.
got problems. Everybody
no,
has
everyone
something.
Everyone has something they could like get help for. Like,
for
it's
sure,
not,
yeah.
like taboo
for
or
sure.
anything.
Definitely. And so how do you, there's such a big stigma around rehab and drug abuse.
Addiction.
Right. So how do you think we could tackle this stigma?
It's so hard because it's just, you know, like drug abuse is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it all depends on how people view.
Perception.
Yeah. You know, like people's perception on drugs and
yeah.
drug abuse and drug addicts and all of that like needs to change in order for people to understand that like
mm-hmm.
these programs are out there to help
yeah.
people and not, you know, it doesn't seclude them from the community. Like this rehab facility was
mm-hmm.
10 minutes away and I had no idea it was there, and the place I would go to my AA meetings was right next to where I would get my nails done, and I had
oh
no
my God,
idea
that's
like
so convenient.
Yeah.
<You're> like hi.
But like
so
I had
yeah.
no idea. It's just such a, you know, like you don't know until
it's so
you're
integrated
there
in the community.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I guess so basically to reduce stigma, it's just raising awareness, talking
exactly.
about it,
yeah.
making
yeah.
it approachable, something
yes.
that
yes.
we yeah.
think what you guys are doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
mental
what
health
you're
in
doing.
General, like in general, mental health needs to be more approachable.
Yeah.
yeah.
I feel like I don't know, now that I'm out
you both feel
sorry
things.
To go over you, but like now that I'm out of high school and I just feel so much easier to like, it feels easier to talk about things like anxiety and stuff. Like,
totally.
It's just weird. Like, you just
mm-hmm.
don't talk about it in high school. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like society like told us that we couldn't, but then it's like, you know, everyone feels
it's
something
normal.
Like
yeah.
it's normal.
Yeah.
We're human beings. Like,
and I feel like because we're all transfer students, well, us three are
yeah.
transfer students. We all had
us
a bad
especially.
Experience
yeah.
The first time around. And so we're all more sensitized to issues like
yes.
depression and anxiety and mental health. And
yeah.
so, yeah, we should all talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's what we do constantly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Do you think maybe like it made you more empathetic towards other people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
I
you have no
ask.
Idea
right,
what they're
because
going
you're
through.
You're hearing like just heart-wrenching
and
things.
It's just strangers that suddenly stand up at a meeting full of 100 people and they start sharing their story, and it's like, if you wouldn't have talked tonight,
I'd
like
so
I would have
nervous. My God.
Yeah,
yeah
no.
Yeah.
I never got to share. Like
no.
I don't know.
No, that seems
yeah.
scary.
So are you still in touch with anyone?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
yeah. I think
yeah, some of the kids. Well, kids. people from my IOP group.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so awesome.
Would you ever want to do anything to decrease the stigma? Like, I don't know, volunteering, writing a blog, or I mean, being on a podcast or a show, all that stuff.
Yeah, and
right?
I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of younger people should reach out and, you know, before it gets to the point where, you know, your lowest point doesn't need to be your what you think your lowest point should be.
Like, that's so true. It's like in your mind. Like,
the issue there is still denial.
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. I know that that's...
Okay,
it's
so
rough.
Yeah, we're going to wrap things up with our 5 under 5 questions. Woohoo! So the point is, like, don't overthink it. Just answer with the first thing that
I'm nervous.
Your mind. No, don't be nervous.
It's really easy.
So what's your biggest fear?
Being alone.
Oh my gosh. Literally everyone has said
I'm fine with being... No, I'm fine with being alone. I'm scared of being lonely.
Yeah.
That's
just
it.
Just the feeling, like... That's
so when you moved to university, were you scared about being lonely?
No, because I'm... Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, not making friends. But I'm fine by myself, you know, like, having a me day.
That's
but
so
like
interesting. Like, introverts, extroverts, doesn't matter. Everyone says
everyone's
that.
Everyone's scared of that.
Yeah.
It's so weird because we never end up being alone.
No.
We always end up
being
people.
Always,
and you always,
especially in Paris. Like, you're never going to be alone.
And you always think the people who are, like, seem really happy and, like, hanging out in the Amex or whatever, you're like, oh, they probably don't feel that. But, like, in reality, they
probably do.
Like,
yeah.
And so what would your ideal day be like?
At the beach with the sun.
Yes, I feel
eating
that.
Fruit.
Oh, my gosh.
That's literally
nice.
It. Just, like, jumping in the pool and then the ocean and then the pool
do
and then the ocean.
Do you want to share where you're from? Because
I'm from Mexico.
Yeah. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. If a crystal ball could tell you anything about your future, what would you want to know?
If anything.
If anything, yeah. You can say nothing.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to know anything.
Yeah. Why not?
I just not, you know, I just like not knowing and, you know, everything happens for a reason. So
I
don't think the future is, you know, something determined.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think your best and your worst trait is?
I think my best trait is that I'm like really happy all the time and really.
You have an amazing smile. It just makes
you're always smiling.
Yeah, I love your smile.
That's so nice. Yeah, I just always feel, like, really happy even when I'm down. I'm just, like, always, you know.
We love that.
Really out there. And I think one of the my worst qualities is that sometimes I, like, overplan and really organize everything in my life. And, you know, it does not work like that.
And do you think your friends and, like, your family would agree with that?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, so that's all for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. We hope that you really enjoyed this show. And if you have any questions for our guests, or you've had a similar experience, or you want advice, or whatever, please feel free to email us at thirdculturekidsinquiry@gmail.com. We will be sure to have Jane answer any of the questions you may have. And also, to wrap up, we want to encourage anyone in the AUP or Paris student community with an interesting story they would like to share or a topic they'd like to discuss to reach out and email us again at thirdculturekidsinquiry@gmail.com.
Yeah, don't feel awkward about it. This is definitely super conversational, chill. You can stay anonymous.
How was your experience?
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Is there anything else maybe you want to share? Just last pieces of advice? Or
just, you know, whatever you're going through, like, there's people out there that are going to be willing to listen to you.
Yeah. Actually, like, what made you decide to come to Paris?
I've always loved it here, so I figured
why not. You traveled a lot here?
Yeah, I lived in Belgium for a year, so
everyone
just
is so international.
I know. It's crazy. And I just love
normal.
I just love the campus, and I love, you know, hanging out here and talking to people.
So cool. All right, so thank you guys so much again for listening. Thank you, Jane, for being so open and honest with us. As always, our show's available on World Radio Paris as well as all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Be sure to subscribe, follow, and give it some love.
And email us.
Yes, email us just to say hi even. thanks again for listening to Third Culture Kids. We will have a brand new episode covering a new topic for you guys next Friday night.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for being here.